Kedushin, Per Gimel, Mishnah Dal, 3-4. In the past few Mishnayos, we've discussed the possibility of effecting a kinyan, like a Kedushin, in a contingent way. So a person might say, here's your ring, and we are married as of now, almanas, on condition that I give you 200 zuz. So when he delivers the 200 zuz, then the condition is fulfilled, and then the marriage is going to be effective from back then. Our mission discusses the halachic requirements regarding how one makes a condition, a tanai. And actually, it's a machlokas, and the first opinion will actually be Reb Meir's opinion, who essentially is disagreeing with what we said up to now. So Reb Meir sees in the story of the tribes of Gad and Reuven, when the Jews came into Eretz Israel, right before they came into Israel, as we see in Parshas Matos, in Bamidbar, the tribes of Gad and Reuven and half of Manasseh, they wanted to stay on the what's called the Eiver HaYarden, the Transjordan, on the eastern side of Eretz Israel, and take the land called the Gilad, and raise their flocks over there. So they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we want this. So Moshe Rabbeinu suspected they were trying to get out of their responsibility to the rest of Klal Yisrael to help conquer the land of Israel. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said a condition. He said, you can have this land, the Gilad, contingent upon, conditional that, you lead the way into Eretz Israel. You are at the forefront, the chalutzim, of the battles to conquer Eretz Israel. And after you've conquered it for all of Klal Yisrael, then you're welcome to have your share be in the Eiver HaYarden in Gilad. But the way that Moshe Rabbeinu presents his contingency, which is you can have Gilad on condition that, he says both the positive and the negative. He says, if you act as chalutzim and go to the front of the battle with your brethren, then you can have the Gilad. And if you don't act as chalutzim at the forefront of the battle for your brethren, then you will get land in Eretz Yisrael. So he speaks out both the positive and negative consequences of the fulfillment of the condition. So Reb Meir sees in that, the fact that the Torah spoke it out, and Moshe Rabbeinu, who's our mouthpiece for the Torah, saw the need to speak out both sides of the condition, that you can learn from there that the way a condition is made in Torah law is what's called in the format of the Tanai of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, meaning you speak out both sides of the contingency. If the contingency is meant fulfilled, then A, and if it isn't fulfilled, then B. According to Reb Meir, if you don't do it that way, so then the contingency simply isn't binding. So in other words, like we saw in the previous Mishnayos, a man says to a woman, he gives her a ring, he says, Heret Mekudeshli B'tabat Zu Almanas, that I give you 200 Zuz. So now we had said before that she's not married until the 200 Zuz arrive. According to Reb Meir, since he didn't make this like two-pronged contingency, he didn't see both sides, so ostensibly that would mean that the contingency is not halakhically binding, meaning she's married from as soon as she takes the ring, regardless of whether or not he delivers that ring. Excuse me, that 200 zuz. Now, the truth is, Labi Machlokas Rishonim, if he says almanasa, that's true, or if he uses the words like im, if, like an if-then statement, as Moshe Rabbeinu did, but we'll come back to that at the end, about the halakh lamaisa. But that's the conceptual argument. So Reb Meir is going to say, without saying both sides of the contingency simply isn't halachically significant, whereas Chanina ben Gamliel will argue with Reb Meir, and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel will say that it's not necessary to do so. And he'll sort of be like how we set up to now. So the mission says inside, Reb Meir said, Kol Tanai she'eno ketanai b'nei Gad v'nei Reuven, any contingency that is set up but not set up in a way that conforms to the structure of the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, like I said up to now. Eino Tanai, the contingency simply isn't a contingency, meaning the action is binding regardless of whether or not the contingency is met. Shneamar, as the Pasuk says, so now the Pasuk starts here in Bamidbar in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chavtes. It says, V'yomer Moshe Aleihem, Im Ya'avru B'nai Gad V'nai Reuven Itchem. Moshe says to them, if the children of the tribe of Gad and the tribe of Reuven come with you, and then he says, "Unasatam lehem es haaretz haGilad laAchuza." Then the consequences will be they'll be given the land of Gilad as their ancestral land. But then the pasuk goes on to say, "V'im lo ya'avru chalutzim." If they don't go in front of you to wage war, So then the pasuk continues and says, "Itchem v'nocha." Excuse me, "Chalutzim itchem." If they don't go with you to wage war, then v'nochazu besochem be'eret Kanan. So then they will get a ancestral land with the rest of you, Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Kanan, meaning in Eretz Israel proper. Okay, so you see that Moshe Rabbeinu saw fit to say both sides, whether the positive if they do fulfill, and the negative if they don't fulfill the condition. And Rav Meir says that is the paradigm for Kol HaTorah Kula. Worth pointing out, he also sees other things from that, the way it's structured, meaning he sees that the conditions have to be stated before the action, meaning you can't first give a woman a ring, and after she takes it, say, and we're only married, I'm contingent on that, I give you 200 zuz. No, you have to make those stipulations beforehand at all events. And second of all, it has to be that you say the positive consequence, meaning that what will happen if the conditions are fulfilled first, and then you speak out the negative, which is the condition, the consequences of what will happen if the contingency is not fulfilled. That's Rabbi Meir's position. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, he says no. He disagrees. He says, Tzarech haya hadavar la'amro. He says, no, you don't learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu that a general rule regarding what's called Tanai Kafel, you have to say both sides, the contingency. Because there, Moshe had to speak out both sides. She'il malechein, if he wouldn't have spoken out the consequences of what would happen if they don't go with you, so then, yesh b'mashma she'afila be'eretz kanan lo yinchalu. You would then infer that once they made this unreasonable request, if they don't carry out their obligations and go to war with the rest of Klal Yisrael, they'll get nothing. That's what you might have thought, and therefore Moshe would have to say, no, if they don't, they'll still get Eretz Yisrael like everybody else. So therefore, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, he agrees that, for example, you have to make the condition before you do the action. That he agrees that can be learned out from the story of Moshe and the Tanai of God and Reuven. But he says, in terms of the necessity to speak up both the negative consequences in addition to the positive, he disagrees, says that was just necessary because of the specific situation that Moshe Rabbeinu faced, but not in general. Okay, now the halacha is going to be, notwithstanding how we saw in the previous Mishnayos, like Rabbi Meir, meaning that you must make a Tanai Kafel, you must say both sides, the positive and negative consequences of fulfilling the condition. However, the Shulchan Aruch brings two different opinions based on Rishonim. Many Rishonim learn there's a difference if the contingency uses an expression of almanas as opposed to im. Almanas means something like on condition that, and im means if. So the Mishnayos up to now said almanas, on condition that I give you 200 zuz, etc. According to many Rishonim, when you use the expression almanas, you're saying the thing should be effective as of now, subject to some later contingency, no need to say the consequences of if it is not fulfilled. Whereas if you use an expression like im, if I do this, then something, so you have to say, and if not, then something else. Otherwise, it's not going to be considered to be a binding condition at all. Others learn, and this is a second opinion brought in the Shulchan Aruch, that there's no difference between using the expression im, if, or if you use almanas, on condition that. Both are the same. One is required to speak out both sides of the Tanai Kafel, both the positive and negative consequences of the fulfillment of the contingency, or the contingency just simply doesn't restrict the transaction. So that means, again, if you would say, according to the halacha, if a person would say, if I give you 200 zuz, then we're married, and he gives her the ring and she takes it, but he doesn't speak out, if not, what happens? So then the contingency is not relevant, so when she takes the ring, they're married. And the fact that he said, if I give you the money, doesn't matter. She's married at all events.